Today's shir is Masechta Shkolim Daf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Al pi she'amru ein mamashkim nor shem avodim v'ketanim. Even though we learned previously that we don't take collateral from women servants of a kananim or minors, avam shaklu, if they gave on their own the machtsa shekel mekabim b'yodam, we accept it from them. The tzais asks a question: how can we accept machtsa shekel from a cotton? A cotton cannot make a kinyan midaraisa, and if he can't make a kinyan midaraisa, how can we accept from him machtsa shekel? So a number of answers are given. One answer given is that the Mishnah is speaking about a cotton who is a mufla hasamach l'ish, a cotton who is almost the age of bar mitzvah and has also shown signs of intelligence, and therefore, even though he's a cotton, his kinyonim, his transactions, are valid midaraisa. Another answer given, the Shaar HaMelech gives this answer, is that since most of the money given were by adults, the money given by the children is bottle, is nullified, beroiv, and is accept, and therefore will not disqualify the money used for Kabbanis Tzibur. It's a difficult teretz. To rely on bittel upfront is usually something we don't accept. Another teretz that the Tzais gives is from here we see that a kinyan derabbanan, that since ketanim can make a kinyan with rabbanan, it affects even the Raisa Digga requirements. And that's why here, since the cotton has the ability mid the Rabbana to make a kinyan, his kinyan will work even mid the Raisa. The Nesivus answers that, based on what we learned previously, is that since we learned Hefker Bez than Hefker, so mid Rabbana, the kinyan is a kinyan, so what the cotton does, it affects that his property, his money that he designated for the Machtsa Shekel becomes Hefker, and then the Hegdish takes it from Hefker. And as the Mefarshim explained, the reason why these people, even though Midaraisa, are not Mechuyiv, are not obligated to participate in the Machtsa Shekel, yet we accept from them the Machtsa Shekel, is because since the Machtsa Shekel affects Koifer Nefesh, affects forgiveness, that's why everybody has the ability to participate. And in fact, Avni Nezer explains in introduction to the next part of what we're going to learn in the Mishnah that there's a very fundamental difference between a woman and a guy. A guy we don't accept the Machtsas HaShekel from. He has no ability to participate. A woman certainly has the ability to participate. Not only does she have the ability to participate, he says, we assume that when she participates in 100% halachically acceptable fashion. The Torah said she doesn't have to give, but if she gives, we certainly accept the Machtsas HaShekel from her. Continues the Mishnah, Anoch v'akuti sheshachlu. However, if a goy or a kuti, the kutim were a nation that were brought to Eretz Yisrael by Shalmetzer from a country called Kuta, and they eventually converted, and as we will learn in the Gemara, and we find it many times in Shas, a debate if their conversion was a full-fledged conversion or not. Says the Mishnah, Nochri v'kuti sheshaklu, ein mekalmehem. We do not accept Machtsas HaShekel from them. Furthermore, we don't accept from them kinei zavim v'zavos, the pair of birds that are brought when a man or a female become a zav or a zava, v'kinei yoldus, or when a woman has a childbirth, v'chatas v'ashamas, or if they bring a carbon chatas or carbon asham, we don't accept it from them. The Mefarshim debate what is the situation that a guy would be bringing a chatas and asham. They say if certainly not if he did an avera that is an avera for a Jew and not an avera for a guy, there would certainly be no reason for a chatas or asham. It's speaking about a situation that they did an avera, which is an avera for them, yet they can't bring a chatas v'ashem. However, teaches us the Mishnah, Zeh klal, kol shenidav v'nidav, any carbon that could be donated, mekabim miyadam, that we do accept from them. But a carbon that's not donated, it's only brought as an obligation, chatas and oshim being the best example, emakam v'yodam, we don't accept from them. They came first of Ezra, and so did Ezra teach us that we cannot allow goyim to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenem, as the pasuk says, loy lachem v'lanu, it's not for you and for us, livnos beis alokeinu, to build the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore we don't accept from them machzis shekel or anything that's used for the Beis HaMikdash. The Mefarshim ask, we learned that we do accept from goyim the carbon oila, which is a carbon that's neither a nidav that can be donated. The question is, why should we not be concerned that when the goy donates the carbon and he makes it hegdish, by the time we are going to bring that carbon, perhaps the goy had charata, regretted designating the carbon, and then it would be a situation of chulin bazara. So most mefarshim explain that the goy is not obligated to bring the carbon, so if he, to donate a carbon. If he donated a carbon, it must be that he meant it. But other mefarshim say a very interesting pshat. Since the halacha is that goyim are not included in the aveira of bal yachel dvaroi, that if they make a vow and they don't keep it, they are over an aveira for breaking a vow, they are also unable to undo a vow. Only someone who is over the aveira bal yachel dvaroi does the Torah say is in the parasha of being able to annul a vow. A guy unable to be over by Yachad Dvaroi is unable also to undo a vow. The Mishnah now begins to discuss the concept of kalboin. Kalboin, as we will learn, is a small amount, the Mishnah at the end of the Mishnah will tell us how much, that is added to the machzis shekel that's given. And as the Rabbi Tanur explains, kalboin means kal, a little thing, a small amount, boin is included with the machzis shekel. And we're going to learn now, and we'll discuss it more in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, a machloikus of the Tanakhama and Rameya, why did Chazal require a kalboin. The Tanakhama explains, because, as we've explained many times, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the machzis shekel was given, coins had an intrinsic value, and coins were valued by their availability. Given that at the time when machzis shekel is donated, machzis shekel coins are very valuable and are hard to come by, a premium is added for receiving a machzis shekel coin. Or better said, according to Tanakhama, if I give the Beis HaMikdash a seller, which is 2 machzis shekels, asking for a machzis shekel to be left there as my donation, and another machzis shekel to I receive back as change, I've received something of value that I cannot easily find. And for that I have to pay, so to speak, an extra commission, which is the kalboin. Others explain the Tanakhama along the same lines. It's basically an exchange fee. Exchange fee for not giving a machzis shekel, I have to pay an exchange rate, which is a kalboin. Ramey, as we will learn in the Gemara, has a whole different approach. Ramey's reasoning for a kalboin is that since the matbeya, the coin that was shown from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe to be the machzis shekel, was from fire, a pure coin. We don't have such a pure coin, so to fulfill the deficiency, we add the kalboin. Says the Mishnah, Eilu shechayavim b'kalboin, the following people have to pay the kalboin, v'vim, v'yisraelim, v'geirim, v'avodim shukarim, freed servants. Avaloi kahanim, v'noshim, v'avodim k'tanim, not kahanim, nor women, nor servants, or ktanim. If they give the machzis a shekel, they don't have to add the kalboin, because as we've learned, they're not obligated to give the machzis hashekel of nashim avadim ketanim, and that's why they certainly don't have to give the kabbai. Now, on understanding why kahanim don't have to give a kalbain, there are two approaches in the Mefarshim. One approach is that since, as we learned in the previous shiur, ein mamashkinim, we don't take collateral from kahanim for the machzis hashekel, mepnei akavod, because we have to treat them with respect. For the same reason, we don't require them to give a kalbain. Another approach is that our mission is going according to Ben Bukhri, who says that Kahanim really aren't even obligated to give the Machzis HaShekel. So if they're not obligated to Machzis HaShekel, if they're giving, they're giving it voluntarily, they don't have to add the Kalbon. The beauty of this explanation is that's why Kahanim are grouped together with Nashim Avadim Ketanim, who are also not obligated to give the Machzis HaShekel. However, the problem with this approach is that if we're saying Kahanim are not obligated to give the Machzis HaShekel, because as we learned in the previous year, Ze Yitnu Kol Oiver Al Pekudim, only those who were included in the census of Klal Yisrael, in the regular count of Klal Yisrael, have to give Machzis HaShekel. Kahanim weren't included in that census, and therefore don't have to give the Machzis HaShekel. So, if that's the case, then Levim also weren't included in the census. So Levim should not have to give the Kalbain either. Yet the Mishnah taught us a line ago that Levim do have to give the Kalbain. Hashekel yidei kohen, if somebody gives a shekel on behalf of a kohen, and like the Mefarshim explained, although what was given is really a machzis shekel, the Mishnah uses the terminology of hashekel. If somebody gives a shekel on behalf of a woman, either have it for a slave, either cotton, or for a cotton pot, he doesn't have to give the kalbain. And the Mefarshim explain, of course you don't have to give the kalbain. We just learned that they don't have to give a kalbain. So they explain that we might have thought, since the one who's actually giving the money is a person who would have to give a kalbain when he's giving it on his own behalf, perhaps the halacha should be, even when he's giving it on behalf of somebody who's not obligated to give the machzis shekel, he should still have to give the kalbain. Teaches us the Mishnah that if it's given on behalf of somebody who's not obligated in the machzis shekel, there's no requirement for a kalbain. Actually, the Mefarshim point out, the Mishnah could have said, even a case where somebody was giving a machzis shekel for himself, and for a woman, that in that case, a kalbain would not have to be given. But the Mefarshim explained, only according to the Tanna Kamma would that be the halacha that way. According to Rameyah, since when a machzis shekel is given for somebody who's mechuyev to give a machzis shekel, a kalbain always must be given. The Mishnah chose to speak about a case that everybody will agree no kalbain is required. Vim shekel al yoda al yedei chaveri. If someone gives the machzis shekel on his own behalf and on behalf of his friend, chayiv b'kalbain echad, he has to give one kalbain. Because, this goes according to the Tanna Kamma, there's one exchange rate for giving this whole coin instead of the two machzis shekels, which were harder to come by, and therefore one kalbain has to be given. Two kalbanis have to be given, because according to Rameyah, every machzis shekel requires its own kalbain. Hanoisin seller, if somebody gives a seller on his own behalf, the noital shekel, and he takes back a half a shekel, a seller being two half shekels, and takes back a half shekel is change, chayv shnei kalbanis, is chayv two kalbanis. And we'll learn in the Gemara Mitzvashem, according to whom is this din said. Hashekel yidei oni, if somebody gives a shekel on behalf of a poor person, yidei shchenoi, for his neighbor, yidei ben iroi, somebody from his town, potter, he's exempt from giving the kalbain. However, says the Mishnah of him hilvain, but if he lent it to them, chayiv, then he's obligated to give the kalbain. So the Mishnah is teaching us, is if somebody gives the machzis shekel as a donation on behalf of someone else, then he doesn't have to give the kalbain. But if he only lent someone else the money and the person will repay it to him, he does have to give a kalbain. The Mefarshim explained, why did the Mishnah have to give all three examples? It could have just said, if you're giving the machzis shekel for someone else, so they explain, by a poor person I would think that you're potter because he's a poor person, you're doing tzedakah. By your neighbor I would think you're potter because he's your neighbor, so we want to engender good relations between neighbors. That's why we say, even not just a poor person and not just a neighbor, but even just somebody who lives in your town who you may not have any relationship with, and he's not even necessarily poor. If you give the machzah shekel for someone else, a carbine doesn't have to be added. The Sefer Melamed Lahoyel points out, based on this Mishnah, that the chiyuv of machzah shekel is not that somebody has to actually donate a machzah shekel, take from his money and give a machzah shekel. Rather, the chiyuv of a machzah shekel is that everybody should participate in the kabbonos tzibur through donating a machzah shekel. So if a machzah shekel was given on behalf of someone else, even though he didn't take any of his own money, he has fulfilled the requirement of machzah shekel. Now the Mishnah teaches us that there's an inverse relationship between the chiyuv, the obligation to give a cowboy, and the chiyuv to give ma'isa behema, every tenth animal to be given as ma'isa. Teaches us the Mishnah. Ha'achin ha'shutfin, brothers who are partners, they're sharing their father's estate. Shechayav m'kabayin, in a situation that the chayv and a cowboy p'tur ma'isa behema, they're parted from ma'isa behema. In a situation where the chayiv and ma'isa behema, in such a situation there's an inverse relationship between the kalbin, and we'll explain this in the Gemara in the next year. The kamo kalbin, how much exactly is the kalbin? Ma kesef, it's a ma of silver, divrei meya. A ma is 1/6 of a dinar. A dinar is 1/2 of a shekel. A shekel is 1/2 of a seller. Thus, a remar is 1/12 of a shekel and 1/24 of a seller. So according to Rameya, the carbine is 1/12 of a shekel. Chamayim, chatzi mar, a half of a mar, which would be 1/24 of a shekel. Says the Gemara, Av pish amru, we learned in the Gemara that even though they said that women and children don't have to give, but if they want to give on their own, they may. Holot first, we see that we don't, ain't tithing, we don't even ask a child to give a machzah shekel. If he wants to give, he could give. Ask the Gemara, Hacha, in the previous Mishnah, in the previous Shir, we learned at Amar Tithing, that we do ask of children to participate in a machzah shekel. We don't take a mashkin from them, but they have to participate. V'achat amra, and here we learn ain tovim. We don't even ask them to give at all. Answers the Gemara. Kan kishev yishtei saros. The previous Mishnah is talking about a child who's 13 years old and already brought two hairs. That although we don't take a mashkin from him, we do require him. We do ask him to participate. The kan in our Mishnah is talking about b'shleihev yishtei saros, that he didn't bring the two hairs, so we don't even ask. But if he wants to give on his own, he may. And the Mefarshim say, women and avadim, we never ask. They always give only if they want to. So the Mishnah taught us, anachi v'kuti, we don't take a machzah shekel from them. Says the Gemara, Amr Abba, Tifter, our Mishnah should be explained, Kamanda Amr, kuti kanachri, that the conversion of the kutim wasn't real, and therefore the kuti has the status of a goy. The spalgan, which we have a machloikis, kuti kanachri. A kuti has the din of a goy, divir emeya, according to emeya. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Aimer, kuti ki yisrael chaldavi, a kuti has the din of a Jew. Our Mishnah obviously holds like Rabbi that a kuti has a din like a goy. Rabbi Lezer says, our Mishnah could be said even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Masnisa benachri. Our Mishnah that says we don't take shekel is talking about goyim. Habakutim loy, not about kutim. From a kuti, we would take a machzah shekel. V'tani kein, and actually so we learned in a braisa, Adam, l'rabbi says a gerim. That gerim do participate in machzah shekel. Mikem, l'hoitzim as a mumrim. A renegade, somebody who completely threw off and went against the Torah, from him we don't take. And therefore, our Mishnah says that we do take a machzah shekel from a kuti. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah seems to be difficult with what Rabbi Lezer says. Masnitzim poligya Rabbi Lezer. It seems that our Mishnah argues Rabbi Lezer, because it says in our Mishnah, "Ein makamu miyodim kine zovim v'zovois kine yodos." We don't accept from them karbonos if they're a zov or a zova. V'chiyesh kine zovim v'zovois benachrim. Is there any such concept of ziva by a goy? Of course not. It's a concept that's related to Jews. So if the Mishnah says that we don't accept these kabbonis, it must be talking about a kuti. So we see that we don't, our Mishnah is talking about a kuti, not just about a goy. El, says the Gemara, do you want to say that the ratio, the first part of the Mishnah we don't take about a shekel, is talking about a goy, for safe bakutim? It's difficult to explain the Mishnah that way. Says the Gemara, Kenu, that is the way to understand the Mishnah. Reisha, the first thing about Shkolim, is talking about Nochrim. We don't take it from Goyim, but we do take it from Kutim. Sefer, the next thing, is talking about Kutim, that we don't take these Kabonis from Kutim, but doesn't apply to Goyim. We learned here that we don't accept Kabonis or any donations, Maxis a Shekel, from Mumrim. Most Paiskim explain that there is no concept of mumrim nowadays. Even Jews who are unfortunately irreligious are generally in the status of tinik shenishba. They don't really appreciate, understand the wonderful ways of the Torah and the wonderful ways of religious life, but they cannot be considered mumrim. There's an interesting tshuva from the Mlemed Lahayil, written many years ago, that he says that Jews that lived in America who are irreligious are not considered mumrim, even though they're not religious, even if they came originally from Europe where they were religious. You can't call a person a mumrim quickly. And the Pais can discuss that even if somebody is considered a mumrim, we can't take a machzis shekel from him, maybe they don't take a carbon from him, but the Mabit says, and the Shach quotes the Mabit, that we can't take from him money for a shul or for a yeshiva. Most poskim quote that mabit la'aloch l'maisa, and certainly the Shas HaTshuvos Maram Shik and other poskim say that if we're not taking from them something specific for a aron kodesh or a building, we're just taking from them a donation. We could take a donation even from a mumer. There's an interesting tshuva from the Shaila of Tshuva Space Yisrael, where there was somebody who became a Baal Tshuva, and he was learning in yeshiva, and his family, who was irreligious, was prepared to continue to support him to learn Torah, and he asked, was he allowed to accept donations from them? And he was told by Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, the Shaila of Tshuva Space Yisrael, that he may. And even if these people work on Shabbos, so the money that's being used to support him is money that was earned with Chil Shabbos, he doesn't have to be concerned. Since most of the money is not earned on Shabbos, who says the money that they earned on Shabbos will be the money that supports him? Amar Rav Yochanan, Betchila, in the beginning of building the Beis HaMikdash, Eim Kam Mahem, we don't take from Goyim, Loi Dovah Mesui, not from Goyim, or from Kutum Loi Dovah Mesuim, not any distinctive object, which would mean something that we could put and describe that this came from them. The Gemara gives an example of a Talya Oyrev, that on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash they had such a plate with pegs to prevent birds from landing on the roof. Loi Dovah She'enem Mesuim, something that's not distinctive. We don't want to accept it from them, and the reason being because we're concerned that they're going to promise, we're going to come to rely on them, and then they won't deliver, and we will be left without having the Beis HaMikdash built. Or we don't want them to be able to say we were those that made the Beis HaMikdash being built. However, besoif, once the Beis HaMikdash is built, mekamim davar shel mesuim, something which is not distinctive we could accept. Something which is distinctive, even once the Beis HaMikdash is built, we shouldn't take from them, because we don't want them to be able to point and say, we donated that specific object. Shembe Lakish holds, whether when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, or it's before, when it's being built, or it's already standing, we don't accept from them, V'loy davish en mesuyim. We don't accept from them a distinctive item or non-distinctive item. Says the Gemara, Mesnis and Pliga Rabbi Yochanan. The following Braisa argues on Rabbi Yochanan. It says in the Braisa, Eim akal mehem, hegdish from the davil abedek abayis. We don't accept from them anything for the upkeep for the Beis HaMikdash. And now it doesn't make a difference between something while the Beis HaMikdash is being built or once it's standing. So explains the Gemara, Pasuk lo, Bein b'tchil bein b'soif. We could explain that that Braisa is speaking, yes, even when the Beis HaMikdash is being built or once it's standing. But it's talking about a distinctive item. A distinctive item, we said, Rabbi Yochanan agrees, we never accept from them. Another answer, Pasuk lo b'tchila. The Mishnah, the Braisa is talking when the Beis HaMikdash is being built. Shafila ma'oisov, even if it donates money, which is obviously a non-distinctive object, Yelichem Yelam Melech, they should be disposed in the Yam Melech and not taken from the Goy. Rashim ben Lakishaymer, Bein B'tchil Bein B'soif, whether at the beginning or at the end, Eim Akam Mohem Loid of Masun, we don't accept anything from them. Says the Gemara, Mesnisa Pliga Rashim ben Lakish, we'll have a Mishnah that seems to argue Rish Lakish. The Tani, we learned in the Mishnah, Hakol Shavim, Noidrin Noidrin. Everybody agrees that a Goy can make a vow and can be the subject of a vow. Doesn't this mean for the Bedek Abayis? So we see that at a certain point a guy can contribute to the Beis HaMikdash. Pasala Oila. So they explain that's referring to a carbon oila, which we learned in the Mishnah. Everybody agrees that a guy could donate a carbon oila. Ask the Gemara, Nicha Noidrin. I understand now the terminology, they can make a neder, they can make a vow, oila, that they make a vow that they could bring a carbon oila. Nidrin oila, but what does it mean that they could be the subject of a vow? How does that affect a carbon oila? Ela, says the Gemara, you know what the Mishnah there means? Kshomah Yisrael, when a Jew said, Harei alai oila, I'm obligating myself to bring a carbon oila. V'omar, and the guy said, Mashes, Omazeh alai, I'll pay his obligation. That's the situation that Nidrin means, but it's referring, says Reish Lakish, to a carbon oila, to another situation where they just want to donate to upkeep of the base of Migdash. We never accept it from them, not when the base of Migdash is being built or once it's standing. The Gra explains Nidrin means differently, that a guy said, I'm going to bring a carbon oila, and a Jew said, I'll do the same as the guy. The halachi is that when a carbon oila is brought, nesachim, flour, wine, carbon mincha, and wine have to be brought along with the carbon oila. The Mishnah on Daf Yud teaches us that if a guy brings a carbon oila, donates a carbon oila, sends the carbon oila, and then he doesn't send along the Nesachim, we donate the Nesachim on his behalf. If afterwards he realizes that he should have sent the Nesachim and he sends them, that's called Maisa Nesachim, the excess of Nesachim. Another example of excess of Nesachim is that the flour that was brought for the Nesachim had to be brought in a cup, but the cup had to be filled over the brim. The amount of flour over the brim is called Maisa Nesachim. The halach is that Maisa Nesachim are used to buy Kli Sharis, to buy utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash. So we learned, then he may be Maisa Nesachim, if the guy didn't bring the Nesachim, but ultimately he does donate it, or Maisa Nesachim, the extra Nesachim that he brings, that goes to Kli Sharis. Loi L'Kli Sharis Inun. Nimsa, doesn't that turn out that maybe Davim Asuyim? He's bringing a distinctive item, the Klei Sharis. Again, the guy has Mais and Asachim in one of the two ways we described. Those Mais and Asachim are used to buy Klei Sharis, which is certainly a distinctive object, which everybody agrees we can't accept from a guy. So how could that work? Hasev Rabbi Yossi Berabun. Rabbi Yossi Berabun explained, Vot Tanin, and we learned another Mishnah. Narachim, Goyim could be the subject of an Erech Neder that we learned in Parshas Bruchot Kosai, that every person based on his age and his gender has a value. V'orchim, and they also can make an Erech Neder and be obligated to give that amount of money. Now the question is, doesn't the money of the Erech go to the Bedek Abayis? So how could a Goy make an Erech Neder? It's going to Bedek Abayis, and we're not allowed to accept from a Goy Bedek Abayis. Hechmat that Amat Hamon, what do you have to say over there? L'shamayim hu miskaven. The guy's entire intention is to give a donation. Umaleim hein bon lebedek abayis. He wants to give a donation. He doesn't know where it's going. We go direct that donation to bedek abayis. Kein at omar afhocha. So too you should say here. L'shamayim hu miskaven. The guy is giving the donation. He's just giving a donation. Umaleim hein bon the klisharis, then we directed the mice and the sachem to klisharis, but not that it's considered as if the goy gave the donation specifically to the klisharis, that we should say that we're not allowed to accept the klisharis. And according to the way we explained the Gemara earlier, it works very nicely. We're concerned when we take a donation from a goy that he's going to be arrogant and say, I donated that item. But here he's not donating an item. He just gave money. And the money that's then directed, he doesn't even know where it goes. The question comes up. The Chasam Sofer already has the Shaila. If we're allowed to accept donations from a goy to build a Beis HaKnesses, to build a Beis HaMedrash, to build a yeshiva, and the Chasam Sofer, and so do most Paiskim say that we may. However, two conditions are made. One is only if the goy will not take that fact that he gave a donation to use it to have influence on our Torah, on our davening, or it should not be that if he gives a donation to our causes, we may have to give donation to causes that we're not allowed to donate to. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Pasala, Rav Shimon ben Lakish explained that how do we know that we're not allowed to take any donation for a goy for Bedek Abayis? Because the pasuk says, "Loy lachem v'lanu livnei beis al Hashem elokeinu." You cannot participate in building or upkeeping the Beis Hamikdash. Reb Chizkiya Omar, Reb Simon Shaul, Reb Chizkiya says that Reb Simon wanted to know. Me'ata, according to what we just learned, that goyim can't donate to the Beis Hamikdash. Eim kamal amas mayim. Based on this, we should not accept from them a donation for the stream of water. Ulchayim asira megdolasel. Or for the walls of the city and the towers, al shame, because it says in the pasuk for lachem and chelik, anything that's so important, they should not have a shirin. So we learned in the Mishnah, elach hayov mekabon, the following people chayiv and kabon. We're going to skip the Gemara in the parentheses and begin with my tamid rameya. What is the reasoning for a meya that says a person has to pay two kabonas, that if somebody contributes a shekel for himself and for his friend, he has to give two kabonis. According to the Kama, only one kabon has to be give. Explain it to Gemara. Dam Ramei, Ramei teaches us. Kishen, Sheshikloi Torah, just like Midaraisa, somebody has to donate a machzis a shekel, kach kabonis Torah. So to Midaraisa, a kabon has to be given. Kesav Rameya. Rameya holds. Benoisin Shiklai Shalom, if somebody gives a whole shekel for himself and his friend, Shuchayiv Shnei Kabonis, he has to give two Kabonis, because every Machsis HaShekel obligation requires that a Kalboin be given along with it. Why? Dam Rameya, because Rameya explains, K'min Matbeya Shalesh, Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitachas Kisei Kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a coin of fire, so to speak, out from under his holy throne, and he showed that coin to Moshe. This is what should be given, like such a coin should be given. And it was a pure coin, a coin made out of fire, perfect in size. When we give a coin, so Mefarshim say one pshat is we can't be sure that that coin is perfect in size. That's why we have to add a kalbon, or that the coin of fire is a pure coin. Our coins, even if they're made out of silver, we cannot be sure, don't have any impurities in it. And since we can't be sure that they don't have any impurities in it, we have to add the kalbon. The question is, according to the other man, the Amrim, what are they going to learn from the word ze yitnu, the ze? So the Mefarshim explain, like we learned in the previous year, that ze teaches us the number 12, Zeb's gematria 12, to teach us that all 12 Shvatim, even Shevet Levi, have to contribute to the Machzis HaShekel. Others say that come just to teach us the opposite. Zeh, exactly a Machzis HaShekel should be given, not anymore. The Mefarshim explain what is this concept of Kamin Mateya Shal Eish, a coin made out of fire. So they explain that fire has very positive characteristics, but it unfortunately could also have very destructive characteristics. Fire could be used to cook and to bake and to warm oneself up, but fire also could be very destructive, as we all know. Kamin Mateya Shal Eish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe that a Mateya, a coin, is Eish, it's fire. It could be used for wonderful purposes, but a Chas V'Shalom could be used for terrible purposes, and one should be careful what he does with his Mateyas, with his coins. Another pshat that I saw, the Alshich says this, Darach HaChaim HaKadosh explains it in this vein. He took the coin mitachas kisei hakavod. The coin was taken from under the throne of Hashem. We know that the Gemara says in many places, the Medrash quotes this, that under the kisei hakavod are the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I want Klal Yisrael to donate mitachas kisei hakavod. They should give that neshama, not just the act of taking and giving tzedakah. It should come with neshama. It should come with feeling. It should come with meaning. And that's why the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says it was only a machzah shekel that was given, a half a shekel. That a person should realize his giving is only half of the mitzvah. The other half, which we don't see, is what's doing in his heart, what's doing in his neshama, mitachas kisei hakavod. So the Mishnah taught us, noisin shel tzela, if somebody gave a tzela little shekel to take back a shekel and change, so Mishnah taught us chayiv shnei kabonis. He has to give two kabonis. Amar Belezer, Sir Belezer says, according to whom was this din said? To Remeihi. It was said according to Remeihi. The Remeihi Omer, echad shekel shunaisen. One kabon is going to be given for the shekel that he gave, v'echad l'divrei Torah, and one for the divrei Torah. That means, a coin, Rabbi Lez explained, one carbine is being given here as a premium for the exchange, that I'm getting change from the money changer, I'm giving him a seller, and he's going to give me back a shekel for that money change transaction. I have to pay a carbine, and I also have to give a carbine, as Ramey just taught us, that whenever a machzis shekel is given, a carbine has to be added. For Rav Amar, Rav disagrees with Rabbi Lezer. Everybody has to give a carbine. Carbon echad. The Tanya Kamen said he has to give one carbine. Ramey Mishnekel, but he has to give two carbines, and that's going to be this sack in the brice, the Mishnah that says that two carbines have to be given is going according to Ramey. Rav disagrees, and he holds the Vihakalhi. Everybody agrees that in a case where somebody gives a seller and gets back a shekel, at least two kabbonis have to be given. Echad shekel shunaisen. One kabbon is for the shekel that he gives. Vechad shunaitel. And one shekel is for the shekel that he takes back. That means, according to Rav, the Tanakhama agrees that if somebody gives a seller and receives a shekel and change, has to give two kabbonis. Because according to Rav's understanding of the Tanna Kamma, there are two transactions taking place in such a situation. The first transaction is payment of a half a shekel, and the second is getting a half a shekel in exchange for the seller. So since we have two transactions, for every transaction that we use the money changer, the shulchani, we have to give a carbine. That's why we have to give two Kabbarnis, even according to Tanakama. That means, Al Dati the Rav, according to Rav, according to Rameya, Shalosh Kabbarnis Inan. In such a situation, three Kabbarnis will have to be given. Two Kabbarnis, Rameya will agree, have to be given, like the Tanakama just explained, for the two transactions that take place, and for every transaction that takes place, a Kabbarn has to be added, plus another Kalbon has to be added, because Rameya taught us earlier that for every machzis shekel that's given, a Kalbon has to be given. So actually, the truth is that according to Tanakama, when somebody gives a seller and gets back a shekel, you have to give two Kalbonis, which the Mishnah taught us. And according to Rameya, you have to give three Kalbonis. So how can we say, according to Rav, the Mishnah is going according to Rameya, where the Mishnah says that you only have to give two kabbarnas, and the way we just explained, Rameya would hold you have to give three kabbarnas. So Mefarshim explained that the Mishnah is saying that what is the minimum amount of kabbarnas that everybody agree have to be given under such a circumstance. And the Mishnah is telling us that when a seller is given and a shekel is taken back from the money changer, two kabbarnas everybody will agree have to be given, and actually Rameya will say one more has to be given for the obligation to give a kalbon whenever a master shekel is given. Also Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah came and said, Rabbi Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak b'shem Rav, Shalosh kabbonis inan. According to Rameya, three kabbonis have to be given. Echa shekel shunaisen, one for the shekel that he gives, v'echa shekel for that money changing transaction, v'achad shekel shunaitel, one for the machzor shekel that he gets back in exchange in for change, v'achad v'atar, and one to fulfill the chiv deraisa that you have to give a kalbon every time you give a machzor shekel. Mefarshim explain, machzor shekel is the mitzvah where the Torah tells us ha'oshel lo yabe, that a wealthy person shouldn't give more, v'adal lo yamet, and a poor person shouldn't give less. It's the mitzvah where the Torah tells us an exact shear. But even though the Torah told us an exact shear of what the machzor shekel should be, still at the same time, the Gemara is teaching us, give an extra kalbon to be sure that you're doing the mitzvah right. Certainly where the Torah wasn't so exact in the shear, how to be mekayim the mitzvah, a person should try to do more than what it's required, because if he will do more than what's required, hopefully he will end up doing at least as much as the Torah wants him to do.